Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's Castle Report. This is Friday, the 8th day of March in the year of our Lord, 2024. I will be talking about the law, how vital it is to the people of any free nation to be protected by the law from the abuse of those in power. The law must serve as a shield of the people if we are to be any different from dictatorial regimes, third world corrupt regimes, and the like. Lawfare is not a shield but a weapon to be used by those in power against those considered to be without power or at least without the protection of law. One often hears the term lawfare, but many and most people wonder what that term means. They don't understand its literal meaning, and therefore they don't understand why using the law as a form of political warfare is destructive of the rule of law and reduces our form of government to tyranny. I've traveled the world from one end to the other throughout my lifetime, but I've always been glad to get home. Whether in a third world war zone or a glamorous capital, I'm always glad to see America, where the law protects me, and I have rights that cannot be arbitrarily abused or disregarded. The term lawfare doesn't make sense because it seems to be two words of opposite definition cobbled together. It indicates violence, whereby the parties to a dispute, usually two or more nations, fight each other with their very existence at stake. Law and warfare are the opposite, should not exist as one, but today, unfortunately, they do. For purposes of this report, I will define lawfare as the use of law in the legal process to destroy political and ideological enemies. But law, standing alone, is the opposite of that because it is a way to settle disputes peacefully without resorting to violence. Whether you have personally been to a war zone and witnessed war's destruction, its indiscriminate violence, or you have only seen it in pictures and films, you are aware of it. You know how horrible it is. I wonder if you know that a society can be destroyed by the misuse of law just as it can be destroyed by bombs and bullets. The law can destroy people, their reputations, their careers, their financial and emotional well-being, their ability to pursue normal, peaceful lives. The law can be used to bankrupt people, to keep them defending themselves in court for years while the press goes about its business of supporting corruption and destroying the reputations of the innocent. I'm a lawyer by profession, having practiced law in the courts of my city for more than 40 years, so I submit to you that I know something about how it works. In the best of circumstances, the law can be a shield against the guilty, whether in criminal court where people's freedom, even their lives, can be taken from them, or in civil court where damages, normally monetary damages, can be imposed against them. This is all done according to strict rules, discovered and implemented over centuries. Judges are supposed to be well-schooled and determined to enforce and abide by those rules to ensure fairness. None of that is true when the law becomes lawfare. The users of that weapon are so convinced that their position is correct, that the ends justify the means, they know what the result should be, and by their hand will be before the court proceeding ever starts. It is one thing to have a mistake due to mistaken identity, whereby a person is thought to be the one, but through evidence is later found to not be the one in lawfare. That is only not the case, but often lawfare is used to convict of a crime that did not even happen. It's one thing to be misidentified and convicted of bank robbery, but in our case, it's not just misidentity. There was no robbery to accuse anyone of. The people who use, pervert, and corrupt the system in this manner have a little power, and they're going to keep it. If they have to destroy our entire system of law and justice in order to do so, they have an ideological agenda, and the law is just another weapon at their arsenal to achieve that agenda. So the law is damaged, the system degraded. So what? A system of protection for people has been denounced in the minds of the people. Their confidence has been destroyed. They doubt the law. They doubt the system on which the law is based. So what if my enemies have been destroyed, my objectives achieved? So what? Lawyers, prosecutors, judges scour the pages of law books going back sometimes 100, 200 years, looking for anything they can use as lawfare. They also have thousands of new pages being added constantly that hardly anyone has even read. Most importantly, today, Lawfare is being used against any legitimate journalist that still exists. Legitimate in today's terms means they are willing to pursue the truth, even if it makes the power structure appear to be corrupt or weak. There aren't many true journalists left, but when one is found, or when one reveals himself, he has to be protected like an endangered species. Such a journalist, I submit, is Steve Baker, now with the Blaze News Service, a Glenn Beck company. Steve was not with the Blaze on January 6, now more than 2 years ago, but he has since joined that company. Journalists report the truth of the story they are following, or at least that's what they are supposed to do. That fateful day of January 6, a story was inside the Capitol building, so that is where Steve went. There were more than 60 journalists in the Capitol building that day, including a reporter for the New York Times who went in through a window as the fifth person in the building, and certainly ahead of Steve. None of the other journalists have been arrested except for Steve and a Trump supporter journalist from Alabama. It took more than 2 years for the Department of Justice to get around to Steve. He was told to report to the Dallas field office of the FBI last Friday morning to be arrested and booked on 4 misdemeanor charges. For your information, a misdemeanor is one where the criminal sanction is less than a year in confinement, so they are often called 1129 charges, or 11 months and 29 days. He received instructions to come to the Dallas field office of the FBI wearing shorts and flip-flops to make it easier for agents to place him in an orange jumpsuit, handcuffs, leg shackles. He was not apprised of the specific misdemeanors with which he was to be charged because they told him they were afraid he would post the charges on X. What was this man's crime that required such treatment? Was he a violent, dangerous offender that had to be kept from the public? No, that's not it, folks. Supposedly, he went to the Capitol building on January 6th. He was there not as a rioter or insurrectionist, but as a member of the press. He went into the building and took pictures, took videos, made notes about what he saw happening. He did not destroy anything, did not steal anything, did not chant, sing, or make a speech. He did what good reporters are supposed to do by recording the facts. That is a lot of video and photographic evidence out there to prove that. The Blaze noted that, according to Steve's attorney, it was not until Steve began publishing news articles about January 6th on the Blaze that he found himself targeted by the Department of Justice. His reporting challenged the official storyline that we are expected to accept because that's what the power structure says happened. His reporting tended to be embarrassing to those who preferred that the public accept a different view of what happened that day. Steve contends that the reason for his arrest can be tied to corruption at the top levels of the Capitol Police. That information, he says, comes to him from a confidential source. Quote, they know where all the bodies are buried. They know who buried them. They know who's sleeping with who. They know everything. And they are the personal security guards of Congress. That's why they are so powerful. End quote. The court in D.C., at which he now must appear on March 14th, made the charges available to the Blaze. They said he approved of the incidents of January 6th. He approved of it, they said. He was heard to remark that he wished he had access to Nancy Pelosi's computer. It seems that journalists out of political favor, not members of the royal court, do not have the luxury of comedy today. Steve was interviewed on the Blaze. I will give you just some brief words from that interview. The Blaze brought up to Steve the idea that prosecutors across the country refuse to prosecute violent criminals and refuse to demand bail for them, and yet they put you, a misdemeanor defendant, in leg chains. Steve's answer to that, quote, well, let's start ourselves with the bigger question and work our way to the answer. This is the first time in history since January 6th, that is, that the FBI is even involving themselves in misdemeanor offenses and misdemeanor defendants. swatting misdemeanor defendants with 50, 20, 25 agents swatting misdemeanors. The FBI has never done that in their history until ordered to do so by Merrick Garland's Department of Justice after January 6. Steve went on to say that when he asked his attorney, "Why are they doing this to me?" his attorney said, "You know why. You've been poking them in the eye for 3 years. That is retribution." The Blaze said if they'll do it to Trump, "You don't think they'll do it to you?" Steve pointed out the selective process because they counted more than 60 journalists inside the building, but only one other journalist was charged. That was a reporter for a TV station in Mobile, Alabama. He worked on Latinos for Trump. He had only a misdemeanor charge, but the judge put him in prison for 8 months. It is really evil to destroy people's lives that way, but we already know the character of these people. I am personally very grateful that I am free to write the things about them that I often do. Sometimes I wonder why they let me continue the Castle Report, but I was told by a journalist friend who was canceled off social media that it is because my audience is not big enough to be a threat to them. I suppose that's now my new goal, to build my audience to the point that they say, "Okay, we've had enough of him." Not many other news services, including conservative ones, are talking about Steve and what the Department of Justice and the FBI are trying to do to him and his family. The attacks on Steve are really attacks on all of us. I hope everyone listening or reading this understands that. In conclusion, I will leave you with a few words from The Blaze. Quote, "And it is a given that the mainstream media will rejoice over this development after all. They believe that Baker, The Blaze, and anyone who does not bend their necks to lick the right boots deserves what they get. CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and all the rest will enjoy the show and use it as a dire warning about the dangerous MAGA Republicans and Christian nationalists lurking among us. What these people forget is that once you start licking boots, you have no choice but to keep licking whether you like the taste of shoe polish or not," end quote. finally, as I keep trying to tell you, this is not about Donald Trump. The people who support Trump are simply giving the middle finger to the establishment with their one vote. They realize, as I do, that once you decide to lick boots, you can't stop. Your only option is to continue obeying orders. You have given up your right to hold or express a thought contrary to the narrative. Those on the left who may support this madness fail to realize that they are in as much danger as the rest of us. At least that's the way I see it. Till next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.